We just sang about the word of the Lord being a light for our feet and a lamp for our path. Why don't we turn into that light and lamp, the word of God, to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to be examining a passage there, John 1, verses 1 through 14, and then we're going to look as well at 1 John chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 19. You may want to stick your finger in all three places. We'll be examining those texts together this morning. So before we do, I'd like to have you stand for a minute, if you will, please. I'd like you to close your eyes. And with your eyes closed, imagine your favorite fruit. Okay, now call out to me what you saw in your mind's eye. What fruit did you see? Okay, now sit down. Thank you. Do you realize what I just did to you? I asked you to stand, and you obeyed. I communicated a simple directive to you, and you created images in your mind. I called for response and got it, and then I completed the process by having you sit down. All of that with simple words. Words have power. Words have power to communicate. Words have power to create. Words have power to command. Words have power to call forth response. And words have power to complete. With that obvious visual display of the reality of what I've just said, look with me at the words we're going to read in John chapter 1. We'll read the first five verses and then jump to verse 10. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Lord Jesus, we ask that as we examine this passage of truth, of Scripture, we ask that these words would become more than black ink on a white page. We pray that You would speak to our hearts, to our spirit, the eternal reality contained therein. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For a long time now, we've been looking at the various names and titles of Jesus in our services, titles and names that have been found in the Scripture. Today we come to the one that is perhaps the most comprehensive title or name that Jesus bears, because it reveals the very essence and nature of who He really, really is. Around 600 BC, the Greek philosopher named Heraclitus first used the term logos to designate the divine reason or plan which coordinates a changing universe. That's what that term meant 600 years before Christ. Words evolve and have different changes in meaning, but that was the primary understanding when John took this word and used it as a title to describe Jesus Christ. Now it's translated in our English Bibles as simply Word. But that word, is pregnant with significance, far more than its surface meaning reveals. And so to get, and perhaps John knew that might happen, perhaps it also was happening in his day, so to let us know what he meant when he used that term, he used a whole paragraph to describe it very, very clearly. To get right to the heart of what he meant, John starts his gospel in the same way that Moses began the first book of the Bible, Genesis. In the beginning. With these three basic words, we are instantly transported backwards in time, to any event before time, back before there were dinosaurs, even back before there was Harold Dews. Back before there was time as we know it, back before there was human history, back before there was even matter. That's how far we're transported back. Now, regardless of whether it was thousands or millions or billions of years ago, in the beginning, God. You hear it? You know, every single philosopher or scientist worth a pinch of salt has to admit, if they're philosophically honest, they have to admit that there was a first cause to the universe. And the honest ones of integrity do that, even though they won't name it. They admit there has to be a first cause to the universe. Well, the Bible, long before scientific study began, revealed what that first cause was. Actually, who that first cause was. It is a person. It is God. In Genesis 1:3, we read, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." As you read on through that first chapter of Genesis, you are struck in the story of creation by the way God created. He spoke. That's how he did it. He spoke. He uttered words, and what he said became reality. He spoke, and the universe came into being. He spoke and clearly defined the boundaries for solar systems, for land and sea, for plants, fish, bird, and animal. By the power of his word, God created all that is in its incredible variety. Hebrews 1:3 indicates that Jesus also sustains or holds together all things. How? By his powerful word. Now, listen, friends. If God created the entire universe by his word, and he sustains or holds together the universe by his powerful word, take a wild guess at how he is going to bring to completion the universe. By his powerful word. In Revelation chapter 19, we read these words, beginning at verse 11. John, seeing ahead through the eyes of prophecy, saw the end of the world, and this is how he wrote it. "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dripped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Who is this King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Who is this one who began the universe by the power of his word? Who sustains it by the power of his word? Who will wrap it up by the power of his word? Who is this one? Who is this King of Kings and Lord of Lords? It's Jesus. Jesus. You see, whenever we speak, dear friends, whenever we utter a word, we are revealing the essence of who we are, what we are like, what we desire, what our intentions or motives are, what our purposes are. Our mouth betrays the reality of who we are. That's why the Bible says to caution what comes out of your mouth. Somebody once said, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. When we speak, what is us comes out, because our words reveal the essence of who we are. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our words are us. And just as our words are us, so God's word is Him. Do you see the similarity there? Listen to how John said it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory is of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, it really shouldn't be a surprise to anybody who understands His true identity. It shouldn't be a surprise that when the Word of God walked this earth, He had the Creator's power in His words. Why should that marvel any of us? He spoke to the wind as if it were His child, and it obeyed Him. He spoke to the waves, and they instantly ceased their tantrum. He spoke to the demons, and they instantly complied. He spoke to sickness and disease, and they responded. He spoke to the dead, and they lived again. You see, all that exists by God's Word must respond to God's Word, because God's Word is God Himself. Let me say that again, friends, because this lays a foundation for your faith. All that is created by God's Word must respond to God's Word, because God's Word is God Himself. Two quick stories from the Gospels that remind us of when this understanding grips the heart, not only is faith born, but faith seems to explode to the person and cause incredible things. Do you remember when Jesus came walking on the waves and it frightened the disciples? And Peter said, is that really you, Lord? He says, yes, it is I. He says, if it's really you, then call me to come out there with you. In other words, say the word, Jesus. And Jesus said one word, come. And Peter got out of that boat and stepped onto the waves and walked. And until he started to doubt, he was walking on the waves, conquering the impossible. Why? Somebody said, he wasn't walking on waves, he was walking on the Word. Jesus said, come, and that was enough for Peter. When he heard the Word of God, he knew it was enough to command all creation. When Jesus speaks, dear friends, he's speaking as the Creator. He's speaking as the Sustainer. He's speaking as the one who will complete it all by His Word. Do you remember the centurion? Jesus was walking through town, and the Roman centurion came to Jesus and he said, my daughter is sick. And Jesus said, let's go to your house. And he said, no, you don't have to come to my house. Just say the word and my daughter will be healed. He said, I understand this. I'm a man under authority. My bosses give me a command. I have to do it. I give the 100 men under my command a word, and they have to do it. I understand authority, Jesus. Just say the word. And Jesus said to the crowd, I haven't seen this much faith in all of Israel. What did that man understand? He understood that all of God's creation that was created by the Word must respond to the Word, because God's Word is God Himself. Oh, that this truth would sink down into the hearts of us, into our minds, into our understanding. I tell you, when this grips you, dear friend, it's going to revolutionize your walk with Christ. It's going to revolutionize it. Not only does God's Word create and complete, but He also communicates. Aren't you glad that God is not some silent, invisible first cause? No, that's what the deists believe. They believe that there was a God, a first cause. He got it all going, and then He hid Himself in some back room somewhere, closed Himself off, and we can't really contact Him or He us. He got the thing all rolling. They believe in a God somewhere or a superpower, but that's it. Well, dear friends, that may be the God of the deist, but it's definitely not the God of the Scriptures. It's not the God that I know. The God of the Scriptures issued words, and by His words He expresses His essence, His desire, His counsel, His commands, His purposes, His priorities. He lets us know what's going on in His mind. He lets us know what's going on in His heart. He lets us know what this whole thing is about. We're not left in the dark. Hallelujah. We're not left to try and guess as to why we're here or where this whole thing is going. We're not left to wonder what God is like or how He operates. He has already told us in words that we can read, words that we can hear, words that we can comprehend. Better than that, in case you missed all of that, God has spoken to us in a word that can be touched. You say, that's mixing metaphors, Dave. It is, but that's exactly what the Bible says. God spoke to us in a word that can be handled and seen. Listen to how John said it in 1 John 1, 1-4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim to you concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim it to you, what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make your joy complete. Do you hear that? We don't write this so you can get a certificate saying you passed a theology course. No, we write this to make your joy complete. You see, any human being who has heard the Word of God spoken to their soul, any human being whose soul has heard and encountered the living Word of God will have joy bubbling up inside of them, will have joy being made complete inside of us, for that is the very reason that God created us. God fashioned you and me with a longing inside to communicate with our Creator. And if we wander around this globe, we can have all that this world provides, all the riches, all the fame, all the power, but if the communication center doesn't receive and give the signals with the Almighty, we're dead inside. But when that interior radio station, so to speak, gets the signals right, and we hear His voice, we hear Him speaking to our spirit, and we respond to Him, and the communication begins from our spirit to His, dear friends, that creates a joy center on the inside that explodes throughout our entire being, and our joy is complete. That's how He fashioned us. All over the world today, people pray in many different religions and many different ways. But dear friends, you need to understand something. The fact that people pray does not mean they're encountering God. The fact that people pray does not mean they're entering into communication with God. I'm not putting down intent or effort. Sometimes we as Christians are shamed by the effort of prayer of people from other faiths. I encourage you sometime to ask somebody that you know who prays, regardless of their religious background. Next time you enter into a dialogue with them, ask them this simple question. When you pray, does your God answer? Just ask them that simple question. You will be amazed what happens to the conversation. You see, because prayer all over the world is usually a one-way street. It's a one-way telephone line. But dear friends, the God of the Scriptures is a God who communicates. The God of the Bible is a God who speaks back. He spoke first. When He gets response from us, He speaks back. He makes the connection. It's a two-way line. God loves to communicate with His own. He loves to communicate with His own. In Hebrews 1:1-3, we read, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven." Dear friends, all over the world today, humankind is crying out to God, however they define Him, however they know Him. People long for that relationship with the Almighty, and they're crying out to Him for help, for deliverance, for healing, for forgiveness, for guidance, for salvation. But hear me. Instead of simply sending a message, God comes Himself. Now that's what I call answered prayer. You send a message off to North America or to the bowels of Africa or to the Far East or somewhere to get a message, and you don't get a paper, you get a messenger. And the messenger is the very one you sent the message for. Now wouldn't that be a great answer? Yes, so that's what God did. We send a signal off to Him and He comes in person to deliver the answer. You see, God is into relationships. He's not into religion. He's not into communication systems. He's into relationships. He created us not as an experiment, not as a project. He created us as a lover. He wants to interact with you. He wants to know you, and He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know His heart, to know His plan, to know His wisdom, to know His purpose, to know His victory for life. He wants you to know Him, to interact with Him. And so He calls. He calls you. He calls me. That's right. God's Word calls. He calls out the name of every single person He's ever created. He calls us to acknowledge His creation, His revelation, to obey His commands. He calls us to live by His principles. He calls us to respond to His love. He calls us to open our spirit, our ears to hear His voice, to open the ears of our spirit to hear Him speaking to our spirit. He calls us to fullness of joy. And dear friends, I know one thing absolutely sure. Today, He is calling your name. And if you're sitting here this morning and your ears are open, even half open, you can hear His voice. It's not audible. It's not coming through the loudspeakers. But in your spirit, you can hear God calling. You can hear Him saying, "My child, I love you. I want you. I want your response." Your spirit hears His voice. That's how God fashioned you. The question is, what do we do when we hear His call? On the cross of Calvary, Jesus stretched out His arms, took the nails in His hands, the nails in His feet. The crown of thorns had been pressed in His brow. The lacerations across His cheek and His chest and His back were raw. The spear went up into His side, and as His blood flowed from all His wounds, His life was saying to you and me, "This blood's for you." I love you. I'm doing this for you. Your spirit understands that. Your spirit longs to know that kind of love. Your spirit longs to respond to that kind of love. But listen to one of the saddest verses in all the scripture found in this passage. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. In other words, God spoke, but people wouldn't listen. He spoke louder, and so they plugged their ears. He spoke in flesh, and people closed their eyes and turned their backs and walked away. They did not receive him. They would not receive him. But, the next verse, but as many as receive him, to those he gives the right to become children of God. To everyone who believes on his name. Do you hear it? To those who have heard his voice, who have seen his love, and whose spirits have said, I hear your voice, I want to respond. As many as received him, to those people God gives the right to become God's children. To everyone who believes on his name. Who believe on his name. Have you received Jesus, the Word of God? Have you opened up your life and said, Lord, I don't want to just be going through this life, this hollow shell, complete on the outside and yet empty on the inside. I don't want to miss the very reason for which I was created. I want my communication center alerted. I want it brought to life. I want to be in constant communion with my Creator. I want to know you, the living Word of God. Does your spirit say that this morning? There may be someone here who, this may be new to you. You may have been to church all your life and yet you didn't know that God wanted to love you that intimately. You may not have known that He wanted to communicate with you that closely, that personally. This morning I invite you to open up the doors of your life and receive Him. Invite Him into your life. Some of you here this morning, perhaps many of you, saying, Pastor, I've done that. I know Him. You know Jesus. Do you know Him as the Word of God? Do you know Him like the centurion knew Him, like Peter knew Him? Do you know Him when He says, speak, and you can act on it and know that all creation must obey His Word? Do you know Him that way? Do you want to know Him that way? Your spirit says yes. And I remind you, as many as receive Him, receive Him again. Say, Lord, my understanding is new this morning. I receive You as You are. As the living Word of God. Come and live in me. Come and take over. Come and establish that new communication with the Almighty. Come and make my soul live with the freshness of that reality. Come and bring that joy which causes me to live. Today, Jesus is calling your name. He's calling you to Himself. He's calling you to fullness of life. He's calling you to fullness of joy. He's calling you to communion with your Creator. Don't, like so many in the past, walk away from Him. Believe in His name. Receive Him. And know the joys of being His child. Amen. Father, we thank You for the truth that You have declared in this, Your written Word. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the living Word, and that we can trust everything He is and everything He has said to be 100% in harmony with your very nature. Lord, I pray for each of us here this morning. You know the condition of our lives. You know the condition of our hearts and our spirits. We began this morning, Lord, by expressing desires that we had in terms of this service, in terms of our life, in terms of what we long to encounter here with you this morning. And Father, I pray that if those desires in people's hearts this morning were sufficiently adequate to bring to your throne, then answer them. But Lord, if they were too small, too puny, I pray that you'll expand their vision, that you'll help them to see how you have so much more for them. Lord, I pray for those here this morning who may have never yet received you as the Word of God into their lives. And if you're here that way this morning and your heart says, I want to know Him, then right now where you are, pray this simple prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I recognize that you are God in flesh. I recognize that you came to rescue me from my sin. I recognize that you came to bring me life for which I was created. I recognize that you are all of God's truth in flesh. Today I invite you into my life. Come in and live inside of me. Forgive my sin. Take control of my life. And lead me on into your truth. Establish my relationship with the Almighty God, and let me live as your child forever. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for each one who has prayed that prayer this morning, that by your Spirit you would make it real now to them. Living Word of God, apply your reality to their lives. For those who are here this morning and have professed to know you, but admit that their walk with you has been so far less than what we've been talking about this morning, Lord, I pray that as you entice them into a deeper walk with you, into a desire to know you in a greater fullness, that each of us as well would, in a new way this morning, ask you to come in afresh, to come in all your fullness, so that when we hear your word, we will not vacillate, we will not walk the other way, we will not turn around in doubt, but that we will take you at your word for what you have said, put it into practice, believe it, and experience it so that our joy can be made full. Teach us, Lord Jesus, how to walk with you this way. Teach us how to be children of God who know their Father's voice and who obey it. Lord, we're hungry to relate to you in this way. Thank you for making us this way, but thank you also for providing Jesus the ultimate satisfaction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.